A haunted world. And the question we're going to ask is, what is it haunted by? So, usually, I start my sermons with a text, and I spend the whole sermon explaining the text to you, but we're going to go sort of opposite this day. I'm going to start with a question or a wondering of mine and then work back to the Bible from it. And the question that I have, and it's just sort of like, what's the deal with Halloween? Like I understand, like I was a kid, I kind of loved Halloween. I'd go out, my mom, again, she made like crazy Halloween costumes. I was once a Duracell battery, like an entire Duracell battery with like all the artwork done. It's great. It's it was a chemical thing from our dairy farm. It's great until the kids roll you down the hill in it. But it's just a like fun holiday, and you know, I understand why kids like Halloween. It's candy, it's great. I like candy too. I understand why people like dressing up. What I don't understand is this, and sorry, it's hard to see. This is my neighbor's. I don't understand why people have a 14-foot tall inflatable cat in their yard. Or giant, like 12-foot tall, like ghosts. Like, why is everyone so crazy about Halloween? Sorry for my photographs. I'm not a photographer. Photographs at night aren't a thing. So there are grown adults that like spend half of the year on like what they're gonna dress for Halloween, what they're gonna decorate for Halloween. And like, I don't even know where people store the 14 like blow up inflatable things. Like, anyone, if you came as an alien from another planet and you landed here and like started writing like, you know, what the deal is with this, you might think that Halloween was the most important holiday of our culture. Just kind of crazy to think about. The second most spending happens on Halloween. The only other holiday that gets more spending is Christmas. Now, as I study this week, I started looking at Halloween, and it's really fascinating history, and I'm sorry, this is like history lesson here, and if you really don't like history, you can tune out for a little bit, because it's just kind of a history lesson. So the word Halloween is pretty simple, where Halloween comes from. So Halloween is a Irish mashup, maybe Scottish mashup, but should we blame the Scottish or the Irish? Okay, Irish. Sorry to all the Irish people. So Halloween is short for Hallowed Eve. Now, the word hallowed, we know from the Lord's Prayer. O Lord, hallowed be your name. It means to make something holy. And so it is like saying Holy Day Eve. And all holidays, if you go back into ancient holidays and Jewish days, they always started at sundown the day before. And so you have the eve and then you have the day. And so there was a day, and it's All Saints Day. All Saints Day, which was a holy day in the Catholic calendar, and the eve of that day was included in the day, and so it would be All Saints Eve, a holy eve, or if you say it with a terrible Irish accent, which I won't do for you guys, but go be Lucky Charms. Halloween. Yeah, and you get to Halloween. Sorry, I'm not going to do that accent anymore. Now, when I was a teenager, I heard kind of a story about Halloween like this, and it's not true. That's why I'm going to relate it to you and say why it's not true. So November 1st was this like All Saints Day, and it was some holy day to the Catholics and to pretend Catholics, the Anglicans. insulting to say, you know, I say wannabe Catholics. It's like some of them. If the Anglicans want to come and harass me after, they can. But I'm going to say that as a holy day, remembering the saints is not a bad thing. And so this, as I heard, so November 1st was All Saints Day, but the 31st, Halloween, was somehow this evil day. Now, I've already told you that Halloween and All Saints, it's the same day. It just starts at sundown and goes till sundown the following day. So that's how the day is counted, where we get Halloween. And that's where we get Christmas Eve as well. It's the same. Christmas Eve begins there, and we celebrate that in the same way. But I was told that Halloween was this sort of like evil day, and maybe it was in like the Wiccan religion, and like the doors to the spirit world were open, and it was just kind of creepy, scary day. They didn't want to be out there, maybe, especially if there's a black cat or something across my path. And it sort of led to this fear of this day, which is not good, because this day is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, and there is nothing to fear particularly about this day. In fact, you know, I'd heard the story about the Wiccan religion, and every time somebody tries to tell you about like Wicca, I know my wife had a guy who was like this Wiccan priest that she worked with, and Wicca is not, I mean, it is satanic, but it's not old. It was invented by a guy in 1960. We know his name, Gerald Gardner. He probably invented it to impress girls. It's like, ooh, I have this whole ancient religion thing. And like, you can spend 5 minutes Googling this and it will tell you all of this thing, that it's just a kind of made up thing in modern garb. Now, if you continue to read, if you Google the origins of Halloween, it'll tell you that it comes from this ancient Druid festival, Samhain. And this gets to, there's this trope in history that all of the holidays are kind of like were co-opted by the Catholic Church. And this is, in some cases, maybe true, but in this particular case, there's actually no evidence that the early church just sort of put Halloween on top of an ancient Druid festival, because there's no evidence for this, because for the very simple reason is the Druids did not write anything down. Like, there's no writing. One of the first rules of Druid Club apparently was you can't write about Druid Club. And so there is no historical record of this Samhain holiday before 900 AD, which is like 300 years after the church had this day picked out, November 1st, including the night before. The real church holiday goes back not to all Martyrs' Day. And this was a day that commemorated the bravery of the people who stood up to the Roman authorities and gave their lives for the sake of Christ. All Martyrs' Day. And this goes back, and it used to be celebrated on May 12th to 13th. And it actually coincided with another festival, a Jewish festival. The Jewish festival of Purim, which recounts the events in Esther. And you can kind of see why maybe the church would have grasped onto this idea, because the story of Esther is the Jewish people are going to be all killed. And then all of a sudden, at the last moment, God comes in and changes things. And so the powers that be give favor to the Jewish people instead of annihilating them. Now, something in the 4th century happened that was very important to the church. 1313, Constantine defeated, I can't remember where it is. He won a battle, and he became the Roman emperor. And all of a sudden, the church went from its worst period of persecution to this period of being blessed by God in this good state, according to some, and I think Constantine was generally a good thing. And so they celebrate this festival with its roots in the Old Testament, celebrating how once they were persecuted and martyred, and even on this day they would have like festivals where they would go and they would dress up like their favorite martyr. You know, you might go as Paul the beheaded or Matthew the getting speared through, and it could be a little bit gruesome. And the early church always had a very tenuous relationship with dramatic expressions of the faith. Now, all of this is to say is that the 31st and November 1st is not some scary day, but actually has roots as far as anyone like written history goes. Its roots just go back to the Christian church. And so as we approach this day, this isn't something maybe to run away from, but maybe something to reclaim. That this isn't the heritage of something broken, but this is a heritage of something good. And in fact, if you kind of play the game of like, if something has bad roots anywhere in its history, it's bad. Like, you go back far enough, everything is from God. And you go back anywhere along the case and there's, you know, there is corruption of sin and Satan. What really matters is, you know, where we are right now. What does Halloween mean today? Now, Jesus in the gospel has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so you look at something that's certainly been very corrupted, like Halloween, is that we remember we to ourselves, before we knew the blessing of God's grace, walked in the path of darkness, and he has set us on the light path. What we aim to do as Christians is redeem things. And so we look at the dark world and we just don't run away and say, oh, this whole world is going to hell. Look at the stuff they put on their front lawn. We say, this is a world that God loves and God wants to redeem, taking from the domain of darkness into his marvelous light. So Halloween, historically, Christian holiday, holy day, remembering the martyrs they made it All Saints. It's sort of this thing, it's about everything, it's about nothing. In 609, they dedicated the Pantheon. It was donated by Rome to the church. And the Pantheon, which used to be dedicated to foreign gods, they actually dedicated it to, of course, this is getting into the Catholic Church, to Mary and all the martyrs. So the temple donated to the martyrs. And on the day it was donated, it was November 1st. And so to commemorate this donation of a building, they changed the date from May 12th to November 1st, including the day before. And so we get Halloween on the 31st. Now, Halloween is as far removed today from its Christian roots as Rudolph the reindeer is removed from Jesus coming to save us all. And it gets to the question that I started with, you know, why do my neighbors have a 12-foot-tall blow-up Grim Reaper in their yard? Why Halloween? People love to know where things come from, and this is sort of an endless argument. You know, the word flirt used to mean give someone a sharp blow. He was flirting with her, gave a very different reason. And so the fact that this word meant something back then doesn't really impact what it means today. The fact that this was a Christian holiday, like, doesn't matter to the person putting up the blow-up thing. And it makes me ask the question, why the obsession with death and the macabre? It's precisely why in a culture that in every way that I can possibly imagine denies the reality of death, like, we deny the reality of death. Why in a culture that denies the reality of death so strongly do we have skeletons hanging all around? And I'm going to say it's one word. It's one word. Bluster. Bluster. Our culture denies death to such an extent that we can neglect to mention that people die at a funeral. It's like you go to a funeral now, and it's like, so we have this life celebration. There's like no casket. There's like an urn, and there's a picture of somebody in like middle age. This person died when they were 80, but here they are in the flower of life, and we're just going to forget the whole getting old and dying, not to mention the fact, like in movies today, you know, everyone looks like they're 22. Like you just never see the effects of death and aging in our culture. You go to a funeral and people are just telling stories and they're laughing. And like, trust me, I love a good laugh at a funeral. Like I am like all for laughs, but let's get serious for a moment. Like somebody died here. You can go to a funeral now and it sounds exactly like an anniversary party, except for the fact the person isn't there. Like you can just substitute like anniversary and funeral, and it like is the same sort of thing, because we never want to mention death. We never want to talk about getting older. You know, I wonder with the rise of cremation, there are a lot of kids today that will grow up and go to their graves without ever seeing a dead body. Just sort of a crazy thing. You think about it, back in the olden days, somebody died, like they were just in your house until you buried them. Like everyone would have seen a dead body. When you see that body does something to you, it makes you realize the reality of death. But we want to sanitize that out. So why in this culture where they can ignore death at a funeral, do they put up skeletons? And I think the word actually is bluster I'm thinking of. Because we can't deal with death to such an extent. And if you can't deal with the reality of something, all you can do is laugh. And this is the verse here. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul puts his finger on something here, that if there is no afterlife, like if it's just hopeless, utter, meaningless, all you can do is eat and drink and laugh and just make fun of things because there's no ultimate reality and it's just sorrow all the way down. And facing this incomprehensible sorrow, this incomprehensible death, our society, all it wants to do is laugh. Because, you know, what a better way of avoiding the reality of a grave than by having a blow-up grave? Something that you can just poke and it just, in the morning you drive by, it's all deflated. Like, oh, Grim Reaper, you're not very scary now. You know one thing that maybe you should do on a Halloween, if you really want to think about the reality of death, is go to a graveyard. Now, people want to put up a fake gravestone, but go to a graveyard. Think about the fact, yes, people do die. Death is a reality. But we know as Christians also, the dead will rise. I wanted to put that on the sign, but people were like, no, people won't get what you're going for there. This is why I try to like pass things by people. So I think part of Halloween is a little bit like the guy who rolls into town. You know the guy who rolls into town with like the really big truck? With a giant truck, big wheels, just like all jacked up there. And I was sitting, sitting beside him at a stoplight, and I'm in my Pontiac Sunfire. And I'm looking up, and you know what? I kind of know. I'm just like, there's a guy compensating for something. It's like this big truck is to hide the fact that he's really, really insecure. with his manliness. Sorry, if you have a big truck, I'm not judging you. I know you need to haul stuff in it. There's lots of farmers. I'm talking about the guys who live like in the suburbs who have the big trucks. It all reminds me of a friend. My wife and I had this friend, and she loved Halloween. She was a stereotypical. I'm sure she probably has big blow-up things now. And she loved Halloween. She loved scary movies. And all the while, she probably had more fear than anyone else I know. Like, there's a thunderstorm. Like, I'm scared of the thunder. Like, there's part of this that is just sort of like, a big blow-up Grim Reaper is something people feel like they can control. It's like, death is in my power. I can just turn off the pump. And it helps them with a bit of bluster to compensate for the fact that they cannot control death. So when you look around, you see your neighbors and you see these big displays. You might think that there's someone celebrating death, but in fact, I think it's the exact opposite. This is someone who's dramatically afraid of death and is putting up the big thing in order to try to escape that fear in some way, to have a little bluster and say, I'm not afraid of you. And the awesome thing is that we have the cure for fear of death. Christ came to earth and lived a perfect life. Jesus Christ faced death, the very manifestation of death on the cross. He died in our place, and on the third day decisively defeated death forever by rising from the dead. And so we can say with Paul, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? And so we drive to our neighbors. You see the people, you see that, and you know it is a symbol of their fear of death that they're compensating for. You can look with not scorn, but compassion, knowing that we have what they're looking for, freedom from this fear in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your neighbor is afraid to die and needs to hear the truth of the gospel to conquer that fear. Secondly, so why Halloween? One, I think it's bluster. Two, and don't overlook the obvious, sin. Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, you can like look at the world and sort of excuse, be like, oh yeah, you know, they're just doing it because of bluster and stuff. And you don't want to forget the fact that people are celebrating evil because there's evil in their hearts that they want to celebrate. And so you look at those things, and we as Christians should be separate from sin and evil. And so we don't want to take part in the deeds of darkness. And we see this as a manifestation, not just of hurt and longing, but of sinful rebellion in the world. And so I drive around and I see celebrations of Satan, and I know this is condemned by God. And we have to have compassion for the world, but we must hate sin. Jude 1:23, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. And so this gets to all of us parents. You know, our kids, maybe they want to go to this thing at school. They want to dress up like, I don't know, something bad. I'm not going to ask for volunteers to tell me what bad thing they wanted to dress up in. And we have to, as parents, we have to say, no, like, we're not taking part in dark things. Three, why Halloween, this haunted world? For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. The third reason I think Halloween is so popular is that everyone knows there is more to life than this. Everyone knows that there is an invisible reality out there. And as you go through the holidays, you get to like the secular version of Christmas, and you have Santa Claus. And nobody takes Santa Claus seriously. Like Santa Claus, big jolly red guy. Like nobody takes him seriously. You have Easter, and they have the Easter bunny. I don't know what the Easter bunny is supposed to be doing, hopping around, giving candy. And nobody takes the Easter bunny seriously. There's nobody who has like fearing the Easter bunny or worshiping the Easter bunny, except on VeggieTales. The bunny. We've been listening. I'm sorry. We've been listening to too many VeggieTales. We got some tapes donated. Madonna, this is you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. But you know, people take demons seriously. People take ghosts seriously. Because these things aren't just child's tales to be laughed at. These things betray an invisible reality to this world that goes beyond what we can see, a reality that is imprinted on each one of us in our knowledge of God and things that go beyond this world. And so often I'm talking to my neighbor and I'm talking to him and I'm talking about the weather. I'm talking about like the sports teams are doing sports, weather. And he's just like talking about this all the while thinking he is not interested in spiritual things, because it's not just, you know, we don't talk about religion. We're Canadians. Meanwhile, all the while, like their decorations tell me that there is a longing for transcendence, because this world is haunted by a knowledge of God. There is a reality of God in the world that boils beneath the surface. And although sin does not allow them to acknowledge God as he is, it pushes them to look for spiritual realities that they know exist deep down. And so I drive through my neighborhood and I see the big, you know, blow up hearse with the Grim Reaper driving it. And I know that this neighborhood is haunted by memories of God, a God that I have knowledge of in his word, a God that I am called to go into this dark world to show them what the reality, what the unseen reality truly is in Jesus Christ. Why Halloween? Halloween shows us we live in a haunted world, a world haunted ultimately by memories of God. Now, this all brings me to, and you know, you get to, you know, I want to like do the philosophical thing, and people are like, so what about Halloween? What should we do with the kids? Now, Halloween, as we talked about, does have like a Christian expression. If you really want to like celebrate Halloween authentically, I mean, the most authentic way is to think about the martyrs of the church. It's like read the stories of the people standing up for their faith. You know, go watch the movie A Man for All Seasons. You get to see the picture of someone willing to go to their death, not to forsake their King Jesus. We can also remember, as Protestants, if we don't want to borrow from the popish holidays, like All Saints Day or Christmas, although both of them are fine. If we don't want to borrow from that, you know, this is the 504th anniversary of the day that Martin Luther went to the church door in Wittenberg and nailed the 95 Theses on it, sparking the beginning of the Protestant Revolution. Reformation. There was some revolutions there. Protestant Reformation. And so you could teach your kids about that. In fact, we would always like carve like a John Calvin pumpkin or something. And we would like talk about these. There's so many things to talk about. Now, is it okay to give out candy? Is it okay to get candy? Okay, candy, Candy's okay. My wife, who's a dietitian, would like to tell you that candy is not all that healthy. And me as a pastor, am I reminded that candy is a little bit like sin, like a little bit's not going to kill you, but all of it is going to kill you in the end. There are two principles at work here. The first is the secondhand sin principle. 1 Corinthians 10:27, if any of the unbelievers invites you to go to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. Now, Paul here is talking about food that was literally sacrificed in a temple to false gods. And he said, you can eat that. It's fine. Not gonna kill you. And this is, I call this the there's no secondhand sin principle. The fact that some people sin on Halloween doesn't mean that everything about Halloween is sinful. So if you send your kids and get candy, it is okay. If you don't send your kids and get candy, it is okay. I can think of, and I'm starting to think of more reasons not to trick-or-treat than to trick-or-treat. We've trick-or-treated before. My old church, we used to go around. All the old ladies in our neighborhood would like call us and make sure we were bringing our kids there. Dressed up. Yeah. And some of them, like, this is how we met Donna, actually. Like, a lady came to our church, got saved because we were, you know, bring our kids out there. And so if you want to use that as a way to get into your neighborhood, go and do it. Now, there's also ways to celebrate other things. And we talk about the second principle, no secondhand sin. The other principle is that there is firsthand sin. Abstain from every form of evil. And this includes, for the kids, this includes dress up evil. Like, don't dress up like something evil. Abstain from every form of evil. And if you're just sending your kids, be like, hey, go out and, you know, have fun on Halloween. Like, be critical. Like, make sure they are abstaining from every form of evil. You as a caregiver, your responsibility is to keep them from evil. This includes movies that promote evil or treat it with anything less than the condemnation it deserves. Now, as Christians, I think we need to balance the no secondhand sin principle living in this world with the abstaining from every evil principle. And this means that some parents are going to come down and be like, hey, we're not doing any Halloween. If your parents say that, kids, listen to your parents. They're great and godly parents, and they love you a lot. And if it means with caution, going around with your neighbors and meeting them, knocking on their doors and like, hey, how are you? Like, that can be a faithful expression too. And when all things, I think when we tackle Halloween, we need to avoid the triviality of this world and just making this play of death, because death is real. And maybe, you know, you want to go to a graveyard, remember a lost one. Secondly, we need not fear any of this. This is all God's world. This is the Lord the day has made. We are not going to fear, because this world is not haunted ultimately by Satan. It is controlled and ordained by a good and loving God who is all-powerful and almighty, and he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So we need not fear this day. In all things, we know we must seek our own good and the glory of God, as we're called to be salt and light to a world that is haunted by the knowledge of God, sharing with them the truth that there is more to life than death. We have the solution for it in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that we would be salt and light in this world. We would show the world the beauty of your love, and that death is not something to bluster at or to fear, but that was conquered in Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice in the cross today. We rejoice in your defeating of death, and we rejoice in your ultimate coming victory. And knowing with the martyrs that even if we die, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.